On this episode of the Real Life Carry podcast, I'm joined by both Mike Szabo and Brandon Balestri, aka Man Bun. The boys and I have a great old chuckle in carry stories. Highlights include a number of foreigners laughing at how I talk, Szabo gets laced with a golf ball, and Man Bun got put in his place by a Michigan dentist. We then play you a pre-recorded short interview with Patrick J. Koenig. Who is Patrick? Well, he's a golfing photographer who's trying to break the world record for the most rounds of golf played in 1 year. Pat tells us all about the challenge. We answer a number of mailbag questions sent in via the Twitter, before telling you about how you can support the podcast further if you wish. If you have any feedback or questions, please email us podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or contact us on social media. And please also download our podcast sponsor's golfing app, Big Game Golf. We really appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this episode. Episode 110 of the Real Life Caddy podcast. This one is called Caddying Internationale. The Real Life Caddy podcast is brought to you by
Big Game Golf.
Big Game Golf. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, get on the App Store and download it. If you're a keen golfer, we appreciate their support. Now I'm joined by Man Bun again. This is three in a row for you. It's three out of four.
I think it's three out of four. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
He's a fixture, folks. People love him. People love Man Bun.
They do. There's been a lot of emails, etc. Yeah. We're also, obviously, Szabo's here. Szabo just showed us a picture, or it's not a picture. He showed us his hobbit foot.
Yes.
His hobbit foot.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've been caddying for 21 years.
A hobbit's going to have a hobbit foot. That's no surprise.
That's true. That's a good point. But I've been caddying for a long time, 20 plus years, and I've never really been struck with a golf ball for injury. It's never really happened. I've been lucky. You know, I've had a couple of near hits. I've seen some terrible ones, but it finally happened. I got struck by a golf ball, dead shank from about 140 yards away across the fairway, came sideways and struck me square in the foot. And man, did it hurt.
The inside of the foot.
The inside of the foot on the very bottom. It's like a weird place to get hit. Mm-hmm. And I went down. I was like, oh, my leg. And I started hopping around. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. It's funny you call this caddying
internationale.
Because the guy who happened to strike this golf ball that struck my foot happened to be from Australia. So I'm caddying for my two dudes. These other two dudes are from Australia. And to make matters worse, from the get-go, first holder, he's like, what does this putt do? What does this putt do? Uphill, downhill. And I'm like, come on, bro. I'm not even caddying for you. But I was playing... Obviously, I'm not saying that. I'm trying to be polite, so I'm giving him reads all day. And then he strikes me in the foot. Yeah, I was. I was being polite.
Being used by an unpaid customer.
I know. I asked my dudes, too. I'm like, if you guys are okay with this, I have no problem cutting these guys off. They're like, no, that's fine. They'll take care of you at the
end. I don't think it's the player. It's you.
You're right. I should have.
But anyway, sorry to interject.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so he strikes me in the foot. Oh, I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry. I'm like, sorry. I can barely freaking walk. I'm there hobbling around. I'm carrying the bags, too, to make matters worse. So we finish. I mean, the thing's the size of a golf ball. I mean, my foot is puffed out. It's hurt. I'm thinking about going to, like, get an x-ray because I was like, something might be fractured or something in there. I definitely went to the caddy office and made a report. But anyway,
you Americans.
So how do you think that? Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't end up going. But anyway, so what do you think happens? Handshakes at the end, and what happened?
Nothing.
See you later, dude. No,
he didn't even apologize a second time. He apologized when it happened. He's like, oh, have a good day. Nice meeting you. Well, not a penny.
I know we have a lot of Australian listeners. They'll know as well as we know that they're tighter than two coats of paint.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Tighter than two coats of paint. Yep. That's tight.
Nothing. They are very tight.
Not even a 10 spot to say, hey Szabo, go and grab yourself a beer. Yeah,
get
really
a beer
sorry.
For the pain. I mean,
get a bag of ice.
As you saw, it's black and blue now. I mean, it's.
What shoes were you wearing? Were you wearing your, you know, your world famous Hokas?
You know damn well what shoes I was wearing.
No yes. Protection.
Well, bro, that ball was hit real hard, and it was on the fly about 2 inches off the ground, and it never hit the ground and went directly into my foot.
What I'd say is that it's the inside. It's the if there is a meaty part of the foot, it caught the meaty part of the foot, Szabo.
Yeah, well, as you know, on Zabo, there are not very many meaty parts to begin with.
It sounds to me like Zabo wasn't really paying close attention to all the players in the group. And
bro, he cold shanked it. I was standing clustered with my two players, and he screamed, but the shank was so fast, and he hit a hard. I mean, he yelled for it, and I flinched, but it doesn't really do me any good on my feet. I can't jump off.
Brandon, listen, I heard the other caddy in the group told me that Zabo was not paying attention. He was opening a fresh pack of menthol smokes.
Oh, get out. Here we go again. Yeah. Here we go again. Yeah. No smoke.
He was using a tea. He was using a tea to dig out a chew. Open a chew.
Get out of
here. Open a chew pack.
Get out of here, both of
you. He had some chewing tobacco in his mouth while smoking a menthol.
Yeah.
I had the patch on, too. Gordon, have you ever been hit by a golf ball?
Yes, a couple of times. I got hit in the back. Very embarrassing once. I was walking down the first hole in the Ailsa course. The guy's duffed it off the tee. He goes, watch out. I goes, I'll be fine. And this shrieking pain, he thinned it. I must have been about 80 yards, and he hit me in the lower back, the fleshy part of which anyone knows me, there's
the muffin top.
Flesh.
The muffin top.
That's not going to hurt that.
It hit me in the muffin top at the back, but that was bad. And also, I was in the second tee at the big course, and you know that's like the Gaza Strip.
Missiles coming everywhere is what you're saying, Brandon.
Yeah, downtown Chicago and a weekend night. And I get hit in the back of the calf.
Oh, man.
On the fly from about 180 yards.
When do you ever hang out on that tee, though?
It was a tournament. I think it was one of the tournaments we have. So
I still have yet to be hit.
You're too small a target.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm usually pretty observant. I'm not off in the clouds very often. I'm very watching people.
Uh-huh. You've been caddying much the last few weeks? Because obviously you were,
Yeah.
We'll not go into why you weren't caddying for a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's okay. Yeah, no, I had, wear and tear, a little maintenance on the body. Yeah.
Everybody needs
it. I had to put my feet up for a couple weeks, and then I got back into it. And, it's been pretty good. I've had a lot of great loops. This is now the second loop that I've been with people from Michigan.
Oh, nice.
Today was great. Caddied at the big course, and this was day two. We had a couple of nice. We had two brothers, a dad, and one of the kids' friends. And they're grown. They're almost 40 years old, like mid 30s, 40. It was great. The dad never missed the driver, and he just had a little whippy. It was a Titleist TA1 or one of the newer drivers. Mm-hmm. Cracked it every time. I was so fun to watch because he like never
down the fairway.
It just
time.
Yeah, but it was a little couple yard draw. Mm-hmm. Never overdid it, and he hit the ball 230 yards. Nice. It was perfect. Just awesome.
It's a true joy to caddy for somebody who they don't have to be a scratch or a plus two, three, four, five. Right, they don't have to shoot a low number. Just someone that knows their numbers and hits it down the fairway.
A little competence, yeah.
He did.
Competent golfers. It's a rarity.
I mentioned this episode was called Internationale. Mm-hmm. It's because this past couple of weeks I've had a lot of foreign people. I had a Japanese group, which as you boys
your
know
favorite,
well,
yeah.
It was under the tour group name.
The tour group?
Yeah, it said like a Senso group.
Oh, there you
go. So it didn't say Nakajima or something, right?
Yeah, I know what you do in those. Those are red flags that you say,
he gives them other caddies.
Yeah.
So how about this? I get to the barn, caddy manager says, yeah, you're at 11:20. I go down to the tee, and I see another caddy because he said, oh, such and such, he's coming in later. He's going to be 20 minutes later. I went, 20 minutes? That's a strange number to come in late.
Yes, he knows something's fishy here.
And I know those two boys are mates. So he's called ahead, and he said, oh, yeah, it's a Japanese group.
We got red flags.
And I'm getting, well, there weren't red flags when I went down. They were all blue flags.
Right? Better.
Oh, so okay.
I see a couple of ladies, and I think people need to realize the reason I don't carry for off the boat Asians is because usually there's a language barrier. I am a talker. I find it very difficult to just say hook slice. It's a long 5 hours out there on your own.
It is. The language barrier is tough.
And it really doesn't matter the quality of the job you do. You're always going to get tipped the same amount.
Exactly.
10, 20, 30.
Sometimes 100.
The money's in the pocket already, right?
Yes, they have
so
it ready.
It's folded up and it's handed to you then. So it doesn't matter if you're busting the gut or you do the worst job ever. Well, it's true. Come on.
Or whether they'll know the difference or not.
Because they don't care. Well, saw the blue flags, which where we work, the blue flags mean car access everywhere.
Yeah.
So you drive to the ball. I'm thinking this degrees. Is great. I'm caddying for a husband and wife. The husband has a patch on his eye.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, there's an English guy. He's from Utah, and he speaks incredible Japanese, fluent Japanese.
Really?
So I said, you're going to join us? He goes, yes. I said, perfect. This is getting better now. This is warming up. I'm warming up to the loop. He says, one-eyed sailor there, he is only going to maybe chip and putt. I went, okay.
Perfect.
Chip and putt, that's fine, even better. Well, there's a double in the group, but there's four players. I don't actually, by the end, I still didn't work out who I was meant to work for, right? But I just helped them all. There was three of them.
Yeah. And gotcha.
That's not kind of you, Gordon.
I tell you what, my favorite Asians, I quite like Cho and Chang because they're Koreans. The Japanese are the absolute best of the Asians.
I agree. Better than Chinese, yeah.
The contrast to what we usually get, Japanese are very serious in normal life. We in the West are a little bit more lackadaisical in life. You put us in the golf course, you put them in the golf course. It's an absolute opposite.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, they laugh at everything. Everything's funny. They don't care about bad shots. They're happy to be there.
And they laugh at each other.
They do.
Someone misses a putt. Woohoo! And then somebody tries to hit over the green, over the bunker, onto the green.
Oh, no, in the bunker.
And I'm like...
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It can't be fun.
You give a read, and they ain't going to turn around and go, look, that didn't break.
Yeah, I know. You know,
oh, really? Nothing.
Yeah.
They don't question anything. If they miss it, they
laugh. That's when they start speaking Japanese behind Gordon's back, and then, oh. Yeah.
Well, do you know what's so funny?
Gordon's found his new niche. He likes the Japanese.
Let's just say it was okay for once a year, right? It's not going to make a habit of it. However, I took a note. I had the green book out, and they went,
green book.
Green book. Apparently, all of the golfing terms, you have to add a vowel on to the end. So, good shot. If you say good shot,
really?
Good shot.
I never noticed that.
Yes, I've noticed this.
They basically speak English on the golf course when they're talking about golf. But it was brilliant. There was a guy in the bunker. Again, I don't know if I'm meant to work for him or not, but I'd never seen this before. He's in the bunker, and he starts raking around himself, but not the actual golf shot. It was just around, he did a circle around himself.
Doing circles?
And then walked out.
Wow.
I thought, that's interesting.
Never seen that before?
Don't see that in the first.
That's going in the green book.
Maybe in Tokyo. I've written down, laughing at everything. You end up laughing yourself.
Yeah.
You miss a 2-foot putt and then, ha 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 ha. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you think about some of the people we carry for and then if you just started laughing at them?
I'm not sure if they would like that very much. No, I don't.
Especially not our New York
Although I do players. Catch myself... I, for some reason, have figured out a way to laugh at people with them.
Really?
Yeah, I just do it. Well, maybe it's the way I laugh. I don't know. Maybe I follow it up with sort of backhanded compliment and like hand them their putter at the same time so they don't notice it.
It's the way you deliver it.
I think it's the good delivery.
I once said to a guy on the big course, he shot 75, 76. He took a 7 and 18.
Wow.
I tried to lighten the mood and say to him, this is you can use this, by the way. I said, he was using a yellow ball the whole round.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was with you when this happened.
Where are you? Yeah. Hey, Dave, what's the toughest thing about using a yellow golf ball? He goes, I don't know. I said, telling your dad you're gay. And he looked at me. The second word was off. You can only imagine the first one.
Yeah.
Not happy.
No.
I'll tell you what, my Japanese friends, they wouldn't have worried. They taught me some Japanese. I would, say a few words. They started laughing at me.
I'm sure.
Taking the piss out of me.
Yeah, they loved the big G.
It was classic. Then the women, they're kind of like dressed like Christmas trees. They always have stuff hanging off of them.
True.
I mean, like things to hold tees and pitch marks and balls and stuff. It's, it's ingenious. But at the same time, you wouldn't be seen dead with it.
True, very true.
On several occasions, I started to read a putt. So say it's like a 30-foot putt.
Mm-hmm.
I'd read it, and then I'd walk up to the hole to show them where to hit it. So you get your back turned, and then you turn around, and you go, and put it right roll past you. Didn't wait for anything.
Quick to pull the trigger, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I tried to explain to them in my broken Japanese and their broken English, that said, you people get blamed by our people for being the slowest people Because you always hear it. Oh, still we're stuck behind Asians.
Yeah,
they are the fastest.
They don't mess around.
They sprint like when they hit a shot. They sprint to their next ball. Sprint.
Now the guy with, you know, one-eyed Willie. Mm-hmm. He hit a chip in the first and hit a putt in the first. That was him. He did nothing else.
That was it?
Yeah, he just drove the whole car day? For his wife. That wow. was it the whole day. Well, how about this? We get play 11, 12, par 3. The guy, the one other gentleman, he teed off, hit the green. Then the ladies tee off. One-eyed Willie is still in the golf cart. So my lady had kind of hit it to the left, so she starts running after the ball. And myself and the translator, his name was Tom, we turn and we look because we're waiting for the golf cart to turn up so we can grab a sand wedge.
Yeah.
And we see One-Eyed Willie slumped over the wheel.
Oh, no.
Translator Tom starts running towards it because he's thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Oh, no.
Because these people are late 70s, early 80s.
Spring chickens, yeah.
Well, no, but that's spring chicken over there. These people, that's true. Japanese lived to like 100. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They all had full-time jobs. They ran their companies. This was a five-day trip. And then they were going back to work. Jeez. Unbelievable. So we both run back. One-Eyed Willie had fallen asleep.
Oh, he's just tired, taking a nap.
He just fell asleep.
Yeah, that happens.
So the last thing I wrote down was cleaning up teas on the tee.
Did they do that?
The cleaning housekeeping.
Oh, they do the housekeeping?
Yeah. You'll see us, and I'm kind of guilty a little bit myself, but not as much. You hit a shot, you pull your tee, some people just throw it.
Yeah.
You know, you throw it in the ground and whatever. Yeah. They deliberately just throw it in the ground.
Or they? I hate watching people hammer it into the ground.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Did either of your players? Well, actually, the one lady, did she have the tee that anchored to the other tee so she
the
didn't
tee
lose
with
it?
The leash?
You mean the lady? Yeah,
the leash.
All four of them had it. When I Willie had it, he had it hanging out his belt loop.
Nice.
You can't get in a golf course in Japan without one of those.
That's
Zabo.
True. Those are key.
But the one thing the lady, I can't remember her name, but she and I, you know, even if I. Could I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. She starts going around all the tea boxes, just picking up loose teas and throwing them in the bin. Wow. I thought, you guys are absolute incredible.
Crazy.
So.
Sounds like I'd need to find a Japanese golfer girlfriend.
You do.
Yeah.
I said to the lady, I said, where are you from? Tokyo. And she goes, yes. And then I said, how many people live there? She said, 1,000.
1,000? 1,000 million? Isn't Tokyo like the most populous place in the world?
One, yeah. Densely populated, yeah. So. Yeah. I think she was wrong there. 1,000 people.
But I think Japan has a lot of countryside too. It's like.
You know, I saw probably the most awkward interaction I've ever seen between two players in my whole life.
What? Really? Lay it on us here.
Yeah.
Bro, you're never going to top this. So, good boy. Actually, this was a job you got fired off of, Gordon. This guy was back in town, my good boy Chris, and he brought one of his business partners, Greg. And we're not going to mention Greg's real last name right now. But, anyways. So, I had Chris, Greg, Rod, and Corey. So, anyways, we were up to the wee course. We were up to the 8th hole, which is a par 3, as you know. And they're doing this, you know, jet deal. Like, if you get the hole in one, you win like a jet share for 6 months or whatever. So, anyways, pretty good backup on the tee box. So, there's a couple of groups in front of us. And we roll up to the tee, and Greg looks at this guy, and the guy looks at him, and they're like, wow, we know each other. And Greg goes, holy shit, bro, you stayed at my house like 5 years ago. And he said, hey, man, he's like, you ever divorced that wife that you're with? I mean, she was pretty crazy. And he's like, as a matter of fact, I did. He's like, yeah, man, you gotta put a saddle on that one to hold her down and ride her. He's like, she was giving my wife lap dances, wanting to go to the strip club, doing this and doing that. And he goes, yeah, we're divorced, and that right there, that's our son that we have together.
Oh,
and
no.
Greg looked around, and he's like, oh man, I just said that. It was unfreaking believable.
Oh,
and then
that's gold.
There was no other words exchanged. He was like, yeah, and then so. What happens is a pretty slow day, so we keep running into them on the next tee box, and the kid's like looking at Greg like, you MF-er, you know, let's look at him. It was the most classic thing I've ever seen, and I'm so glad, Greg, that I got to witness. I know you're going to listen to this podcast, but Greg, wow.
Awesome.
Wow. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to keep in touch. That was the first time they had seen each other since he stayed at Greg's house. But, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, your wife was giving my wife lap dances. And
got to throw a saddle on that one.
Yes, got to throw a saddle on that one. That is what he said. But he that's the real money maker right there. Yeah. I like that one.
He opened with, did you ever divorce that wife that you were with? And it's like, wow. And then he's the saddle comment and. Yeah, that's my son our son.
If Man Bun had been in that group, he'd have been like, I'll take her number.
I would have said something real bad before the kid had announced that it was his mother.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was awkward. Actually, I had another one. This was prime podcast material. I wish you were on this loop, Gordon, with me. Yeah. Actually, Kevin Mom was. And it was, so this guy that I'm caddying for, his name's, we're going to call him Steve. His real name's not Steve, but Steve anyways. He runs this company. He started this company. They have 14,000 employees. It's
what?
Yeah, 14,000 employees. And this guy started the company. It's like a referral agency, or they do consulting. It's a consulting agency. So it's pretty early in the morning, and I meet the guy for the first time. He's like, hey, Mike, how's it going? He's like, you're going to get to witness something very rare for me today. He goes, I'm not drinking today on the golf course. I don't think that's ever happened. I was like, oh, good for you, Steve. That's great. So what do you think happens on the fourth hole?
he starts drinking.
Oh, bro. He gets a double bloody, and then he gets two Mick Ultras on top of that. He goes, because I need a little hydration to wash it down. And this guy was like super inappropriate, and it was funny. He had one of his employees was a female with him, and we're going to get to her later. But anyway, so he's saying all these inappropriate comments, and I'm like, bro, I'm standing there with Kevin. I'm like, bro, you must have got called into HR all the time. Yeah. And he's like, funny enough, he's like, yeah, it does happen from time to time. He goes, yeah, I was in this meeting once, and I said, blow your wad in the meeting, and they called me into HR. And I had to sit there for half an hour and explain to these people what blow your wad meant because they had no idea. He said, when you say blow your wad, your mind goes to the gutter, but the true fact of the matter is blow your wad is a term from the Civil War when they would load their muskets and they would put the wad in and they would shoot it before it was time to shoot. That's blowing your wad. Nothing. Yeah. And I was like,
that's
real
story.
I'm learning something new every day.
That's the real story there.
Oh, God. Every day's a school day.
Yeah. This guy was last and he didn't stop drinking from there. And so his cart mate, he's riding with this guy. His cart mate, he's one of the clients of the firm. And I'm just chatting him up, you know, getting to know him. So I'm like, you know, where are you from? He's like, Boston. Moved out here. And I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm like, oh, you have any kids? He's like, yeah, we got four kids. My husband's a stay-at-home dad. I'm like, oh, that's great. Good for you. And then Steve pulls me aside later. He's like, just so you know, he goes, this guy, you know, he's gay and he's got four kids. I'm not really sure how it all went down. I mean, the kids, I don't know if they're adopted or, yeah, I don't know. This I'm like, you might want to turn it down a notch because I think he can hear you. I'm like, let's ease off a little bit. But it was, this guy was legendary. So anyways, the female employee that he has with him, so he misses a putt and he goes, oh, she's an attractive lady. She worked for him for years and she's a little ditzy. So he misses a putt. He goes, man, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And she goes, huh, I have the opposite problem. She goes, I'm always the bride, never the bridesmaid. And then she looks at me and Kevin goes, four times. I've been married four times now. I'm like, oh, man. And she was just.
That's laughing. Awesome.
And then my guy hit it in the hazard on one of the holes. And she's not paying attention. He drops in the drop circle. And she gets down there. She goes, oh my God, they drew a circle around your ball. And she was being serious. Just, oh my God. And it was just debauchery the whole line. But that guy, blow your wad.
You should have taken Brandon. Yeah. You could have been number five.
Yeah.
I bet you would have been.
Well, she's currently married. She's happy with the one she's with now.
I'm sure I would have made a pass at her.
Yeah.
I'm sure you would have.
It'd have been rude not to.
I mean, when you've been married four times, I'm sure you've seen it all.
It's incredible what people share with us in the course, isn't it?
It is incredible. Yeah.
What's the strangest thing you've ever heard from one of your players?
So, you know, our good buddy MJ from Wee Wee course, he was out with a guy about, I don't know, this is like 8 or 9 years ago, and they're on the first hole. And the guy's like, well, MJ, this is it. Last hurrah. And MJ's like, what are you talking about, buddy? He's like, well, I'm off to jail after this. And MJ goes, well, that's funny. He's like, yeah. He's like, drunk driving. I, kid died. And happened back in Florida. You can look him up. A polo master, very wealthy gentleman, but ended up going to jail for quite a long time. And he's just giving his sob story to MJ. He's like, yeah. He's like, this is it. You know, a month from now, I got to report to jail. And MJ's like, well,
Still about a 9-iron, bro. I don't know what you want to say. You got 135. I think
you got 135. It's a little downwind, and we're falling behind here. So
yeah, we don't have time to get your whole life story here. But bummer about the whole jail thing, bro. But we got to keep this moving.
Well, me and Zabo were in the practice screen of I don't know, last year or so, whenever it was, and this guy's there, and Zabo was like, "So how's the family?" And he goes, "Well, I'm getting divorced." He says, "You're."
That's true.
And he goes, "You're the second and third people that know about it."
Oh, nice.
She's the first.
Wow.
And we just stood there, didn't we? We're like, yeah. Oh, do you want to play the whites? What tease are you going to play?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, where do you go from there? Sometimes it's like, where do you go after they tell you these things? It's like, I don't know how you want me to respond to this.
I usually respond with eye contact and just a good old-fashioned smile. That's maybe all you can do. What are you going to avoid looking at the person? You just...
Well, there's plenty more fish in the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I said internationale, boys, I also had some Mexicans last week.
Uh-huh.
That qualifies.
Not a fan.
No? Why not?
Yeah, they're...
These guys
were... They're always talking behind your back. They're always arguing correct. With you.
Yes.
They're cheap. They're cheap. They all think they're Rico Suave because if you're from Mexico and you're playing golf at Pebble Beach, you think you're just the dude. You think you're the man.
It's true.
Maybe you are back from where you're from. Who knows? Like, that doesn't... It doesn't... I don't care.
Doesn't float here.
Yeah. Doesn't float.
Were you on this loop with me?
No, but I've seen this loop before.
And we actually have a caddy at Spyglass that's very, very Caucasian gentleman that speaks very fluent
Spanish.
And he used to honor those, like they'd have request Spanish speaking caddies, and he stopped doing it just for that fact because they don't pay.
They don't pay.
Yep.
Total disrespect. The mm-hmm. I had a Tommy Boy was a new caddy, brand new.
Okay.
Fresh off the bench. He was doing a single in the group. And these guys, you'd have thought they were playing for their lives or their wives' honor.
Yeah.
The way that they were so serious to the point. And when one starts complaining, they all start complaining. It was one of those.
You know, oh, yeah. Some of those well.
Someone in the house gets the cold, everyone's going to get it.
Yep. It's contagious. And
what was a very, for me, fun front nine turned a little sour by the 11th when I had to put my foot down and explain
tell them
to
what's
them.
What. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was unbelievable, the disrespect they had for this new caddy. He gave a great read on the 10th hole.
Mm-hmm.
And
sometimes it's a tough green to read.
And then the guy's over the ball and he goes, "I don't think so."
I don't think so.
You're wrong.
I was like, my player goes, "Can you help him?" And I was like, no.
Wait a second. Didn't you say they were Spanish? You just did a little
you
French
sound a little
accent
wee-wee
there.
Oh, like Pepe Le Pew.
Okay.
Can you help them?
Can you help him? That's more French. Hey, they're from, yeah.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
And then and the guy's over the wall and goes, "I don't think so." And I'm like, how
no,
did
no,
he,
no.
I was like, what kind of thing is that to say? This poor kid, he's only done like 15 loops. And yeah.
Give him a
you
break.
Know, do you know what's character building? If you're a new caddy and you get one of these guys, but they were the ones from Mexico City, you know, they're not the guys that we the shorter, you know, guys around that we know, Mexicans, you know, there's a bunch of different areas in Mexico in there, but these guys, you could just tell that these boys went to private school, run their own companies,
mm-hmm.
treat people like shit,
yep,
throw their clubs in the ground,
yep,
and actually one of them, he threw his wedge in the ground,
he left it,
he goes to 11,
atta boy,
my wedge,
yeah. Atta boy.
I said,
back where you threw it.
Where you left it.
Hey, Manuel, back where you left it.
Nice.
He says,
pick it up,
and he
bro.
Looked at me as if I'm going to go and get it.
Yeah,
and I was like,
get out of here.
I said, you can grab the cart.
Yeah.
They took the piss out of me too, of how I talked. 140. And they're like,
140.
40.
Well, in their defense, you do
that's
say shit.
That's great.
Pretty funny.
Oh.
That's, you do, I mean. Fresh butt.
Fresh butt. The Japanese took the piss out of me. Mexicans take the piss out of me.
Americans do it too.
No, they don't.
You just talk funny.
Americans ain't smart enough to get a bit of sarcasm.
Oh, yes.
You guys, nothing.
No.
Maybe
Gordon sounds like a perfect caddy when they're like, oh, I get an Irish guy. No, thanks, I'm Scottish, but yeah, no, I...
Do you know what I'll do, boys? Right, see, for the next 8 weeks, I will start keeping a note of how many people say I'm from Ireland. Okay.
Do you get that daily?
Nine out of ten.
Really?
Nine times out of ten when someone says, oh, where are you from? Some guy said to me today, he says, oh, yeah, you know, so I've been in your place four or five times. I went, all right, okay. Glasgow, Edinburgh, I went Cork. I went, yep, not Scotland, mate.
Do you get offended?
No, no, I couldn't get offended. I'll tell you what.
It doesn't bother you, though?
Like, no.
You don't care.
It's like North Carolina, South Carolina, isn't it? Well, yeah. A wee bit. I can hear it, right? Like, the Irish, they talk like that, you know, they're a lot softer.
Yeah, yeah.
And up in the north, they go 46, 47, 48%. You know, we're kind of, I can understand to some of these people, but, you know.
Similar, but different.
It's a region of a dialect.
Yeah.
But it's way different if you put an Irish person next to a Scottish person.
If you put his next
but
to, yeah.
Yeah. If you're just generally observing and you kind of hear it, you think Ireland. I don't know. Maybe Scotland. You just...
Yeah.
Tell you what, Man Bun sounds very intelligent today, doesn't he?
He's a wise one.
Ah, yeah.
He's fresh.
He is fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah. He's back looping. He's feeling good. He's looking good.
I got yelled at by my player. Speaking of people being rude, let's see. We had these two groups from Michigan, and right. I walked up from the parking lot at the Wee Course, and I walked past the staging area. And I noticed the guy had a Detroit hat on. And, of course, I said hello to him. I said, are you guys from Detroit? And he says, yeah. So I said, oh, I'm from St. Clair Shores, you know, 8.5 and Mac there on the east side. He's like, oh, wow, we're from Bloomfield Hills. Wow, that's awesome. So they start asking me, should we play the whites or should we play the golds? Mm. And so I give them the spiel. I just met these guys 3 seconds ago. I'm not even their caddy. I'm just walking to the thing because this is the conversation I walked into.
Yeah.
What tee should we play? And I told them,
whites.
Definitely play the whites. And I explained them why exactly to the tee, short and sweet. Yeah. And I said, if you want to have fun, play the whites. I said, if you want to get your
ass kicked,
you know, you want to get your ass kicked, go ahead, play the golds. And so I convinced them. I said, play the whites from the par fours and the par fives. I said, play the par threes from the golds, and which is a hybrid that was taught to me by some of the Wee Course members.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what they used to do. When I would caddy for them, they did that, and it evens out the golf course. But anyway, two groups of guys, most of them were divorce attorneys.
Could have done well in the group that I was with. That
yeah, they were just very, gosh, I don't know, draw your own picture.
Yeah, we know divorce attorneys.
And you know what was funny about this group is it gave me this sense, especially after being with them for the second day, that some people just wind up hanging out with other people that are in their, they're not even really friends. It's like, how well do you even know this other person?
Yeah.
Or are you just hanging out because you kind of are at the same club and because you maybe do kind of the same thing and maybe you make the kind of money or whatever. And that was just one little thing that I thought about that group. A couple times I thought like, how well do you even know this guy over here? But they were together there. Anyways, there was the old man in the group, and he had this issue. I'll try to paint you a picture here. He had an issue with his spine. He was like a hunchback, right? And so, but he was so rude. And that was his shtick. His shtick, he was a retired.
He was an asshole.
No, he still worked, and he was a dentist. And he was like,
that's why he was hunched over.
He was like, argh. He was one of these guys. And the first day I wasn't with him, but we get paired up the second day. And they're like, oh, Brandon, you get to get paired up with David. You get to caddy for David this time.
I've heard about David.
And he kind of like when he would look at you, he had to turn his whole body because like he couldn't move his head. So he's like, hey, yeah, nice to meet you. And so then he would always be saying something rude. And so I give my player, who I was with the previous day, so we've already got a little thing going. I give him this nice read on the first hole. He makes the putt. We're getting off to a good start. Okay. We're at the big course. Number two, flags in the front and center. He hits this great shot, his third shot up, and it rolls towards the back of the green. So he has a long putt. And that's not a very straightforward putt, right?
It's a tough one, yeah.
Okay? Deceptive. You gotta get it up at least past the halfway to the hole so then it can run trickle down straight left to the hole. Otherwise, you're going to put it off the front of the green. So during my long-winded read, before I'm done with it, the guy goes, "Would you hurry the F up?" He goes, "When are you going to be done with your dissertation?" Out of nowhere, it was silence. You could hear the birds chirping. Man. And so it was just
give me
like,
a read.
No, I wasn't even reading his putt. He was mad at me reading the other guy's putt. And so, okay, so I know this guy is his thing, and we all had fun, and they knew I was enjoying his company. And we're on the third tee, and everybody tees off, and, you know, he's in the cart. There's two carts in the group. Some of us are walking, and Dave's pulling up behind me around my shoulder here, and I look at Dave, and I say, "Hey, Dave, hey, I just want to let you know." I said, "I'm not mad at you anymore for yelling at me on the last screen." Okay? I said, "I've forgiven you. If you want me to read your putts, I'll shoot you straight." Okay? He goes, "Listen, I don't give an F if you're still mad at me or not." And he just pulls off just in the whole day. And I was caddying with Bob.
Uh-huh.
Bob Talker.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby. So he was the perfect...
Oh, gosh.
He was the perfect other caddy in this group.
Oh, man.
Because Bobby... Oh, yeah, little bee. Yeah, so it was good. It was good.
It's comedic out there.
I got yelled at a couple times. He said some very inappropriate things. And I said...
Sweet.
I said, "David, I said, I'm glad you weren't my dentist." I said, "Because I have dentures by now."
Yeah. I can't. I'm gonna. We'll finish off with this one, boys. We know you talked about lawyers hanging about together with each other. We see finance people. There's a certain type. Salespeople, a certain type. Doctors, a certain type.
Insurance salesman.
We just know. We within three guesses, we could probably guess what someone does
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, this past week, I had a guy who's going to be listening to the podcast now, and I said to him, I looked him in the eye, and I said, "I've just looked at your clubs. I said, I can tell you're a heavy drinker. I said, you stay up late and you watch infomercials in the Golf Channel." And he went,
"Oh, that guy."
Yeah. The C3i.
Oh, yeah. Great infomercial club.
For 13 payments of $2.99
exactly.
a month.
Exactly.
You can have one of these as well. But I'll tell you what, you could hit it well.
There you go.
Some of those infomercial clubs work.
I'm now going to play a short chat with a guy called Patrick Koenig, who I met last year. He is trying to break the world record of the most number of rounds of golf in 1 year.
Four!
I am joined by Patrick Koenig. Is that right? Did I pronounce your name correctly there, Pat?
That's pretty good. I hear Koenig, I hear Koenig. As long as you just don't call me late for a tea time, I'll be happy about it.
Good luck. I believe Koenig is actually king in German.
That's correct. Yeah, you nailed it.
Please introduce yourself to the Real Life Caddy podcast. Listeners, please.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my name is Patrick Koenig, and I'm traveling around the country, and I'll be a little across the world, setting a world record for the most different 18-hole golf courses played in a single year. That's 449 is the current record, and today is course 195 in reps breaking that record, which puts us on pace for well past it, somewhere around 560. But the quest is young.
As we are recording this, this is the 5th of May, 2023, so you're only 4 months in, and you're crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, the first 4 months are the toughest, isn't that what they say? But it's been good so far. Plenty of hiccups along the way, but I think that hiccups are the story. I mean, if you don't have hiccups, then you're getting way too lucky. I think we're hitting a stride in terms of kind of figuring some things out along the way, because there's a lot involved in doing something like this, from the recreational golf vehicle that I'm in to the planning, to the documentation, to the, you know, the podcasting, the storytelling, the route coordination, the tee times, you know, not to mention I've got to find a way to play 36 holes of golf and do the driving. And then I also have to sleep, you know, so there's a lot in my days.
So take it back, you know, where are you originally from?
Originally, I was born in Indiana. So I grew up as an Indiana kid and learned to love the game at not an incredibly young age, but as a young 12 is when I picked it up, and it was like a disease. You know, you kind of it takes you over, and mostly the desire was to play the game. But I really loved golf courses. Even the ones I played as a kid were not incredibly special. Looking back, but I thought they were the most magical places on the earth. Just a field of grass with a pin flag in it. I was like, this is so cool. And something about that is I've grown up with it and I've turned it into my career and obviously my passion for this year.
Yeah. What is your background?
So I'm a sales guy out of college. I went to Indiana University and then I jumped on the sales train in the software world and sold in Silicon Valley and had some, moderate degree of success, but never loved it like I did golf. And, I've always taken photos, but 5 or 6 years ago, I jumped off and began to take pictures of golf courses as a career and haven't looked back. I always say if I can find a way to eat and do what I love every day, it's infinitely better than having a room full of cash and not enjoying your day to day.
The first time I saw of you was probably on Instagram and you were traveling just around the country taking photos. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do. That's what I love to do is travel around the world and take photos of golf courses. In a nutshell, that's it. There's obviously a lot of details and hard work that goes behind doing that, but that's the simplest version to explain essentially what I'm doing.
And people can find you online, can't they, on Twitter and on Instagram? What's your handle?
Yeah, so it's PJ Koenig on Instagram. A lot of beautiful golf course photos there, and you'll find some fun videos of what it's like being on the road of the RGV tour here. And then it's Patrick J Koenig on Twitter. And my website's pjkoenig.com.
Perfect. I'll add those to the website. What made you want to take on this challenge?
The reason that I took on this challenge was to see the golf courses in America. You know, that's always been my passion. And so I added in things that I love as well. We're raising money for the first tee, which is cool, to give kids the opportunity, give them the mentorship, teach them the life lessons of golf that I was able to learn at a young age. Is a really cool thing. So we've raised over $15,000 already. It's a big part of the mission this year, in addition to the world record. But it's the passion for exploration, the people. It's really inspired me to go looking after this record.
How many states are you going to play golf in America?
Well, I've seen golf in every state, so I'm familiar with every state in the U.S. But this one, it's mostly focused on the courses, but I don't want to just concentrate and be lame about just hunkering down and doing it. The stuff that's really interesting is getting out there. So I'd imagine it'll probably be around like 40 states. We'll see. I don't know which ones I'll miss. I haven't missed many so far, but I think we're on, at least maybe we're getting up closer to 20 states already played.
So out of the 365 days this year, how many days will you play golf?
Probably like 360 is a pretty good estimate. It's usually a travel because I have a couple of photo shoots that I'm going to Pebble Beach, and so I'll have to see. I could probably get that down to maybe like 363 if I really was trying. But the travel days when you're getting on a plane, you'd have to get up early and play golf and then get on the plane. So might do something like that, but there'll be a couple breaks in there. But not many. So far, it's zero.
And your target is about what, 560 something?
The goal is 500. You know, I wanted to get off to a hot start. I don't want to be behind the game. You know, playing catch up. So I wanted to get off to a hot start, and we're at that with a good pace. The goal is 500. You know, so if I could play 500 courses in a year, that'd be amazing. And we're doing that. It's still a success if we beat the world record. 450 is a success story, but you want to beat it by as much as you can, right? If you're going all in, go all in.
Of course. Now, how is this for your body? Like, are you sore? Have you had to change how you play golf?
That's a good question. Because I did kind of slow my swing down. I'm getting older. I'm 43 years old, so I'm not out here trying to hit bombs and really just blast the ball all over the place with an aggressive swing. And I've still been able to play great golf with it dialed back just a little bit. you know, that's a consideration, because an injury is the, you know, you look at what are the things that could disrupt this, is an injury is right at the top of that list. So, and be careful, doing plenty of stretching. But you know, your body kind of gets used to it. You're like, okay, here we do. We're doing this again. You know, 18 or, you know, 36 is a little more challenging, obviously, than just 18. Just 18 a day, so it feels like a day off. You know, I'm feeling, my body's feeling good. I feel like I was born to do this, you know, that kind of it's a calling versus just something to do.
Any rounds that are the highlights so far or something you're looking forward to?
You know, I really enjoyed my day. We played 70 at Doral. We did all 72 holes out there, and that was so much fun. You know, it was like that whole day, we never sure if we were going to get in 72. There was lightning. I was like, oh, if they called, we're screwed if they call us off the course for an hour, you know. So we kept playing, and it all panned out, and it wasn't until like the very end, as the sun's coming down, that it was clear that we could actually get in, bounce around, like get creative. It was a wildly fun, exciting day. I mean, filled with adrenaline to like right down to the end to see if we were going to get in every single hole. And we did, you know, four courses added to the tally, but more importantly, it was like, it was a cool, fun experience with my host out there.
Is there anything that our listeners can do to help you out?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they obviously can, you know, following along is a great way. I feel like they get some entertainment value out of that. And all the handles, but you know, most importantly, I mean, if you want to make a donation to the First Tee, there's a link on my website to make a donation. And you know, most people are giving small amounts, and that's what's so special about it. It's not like we've got some big rich people that are coming in giving large chunks of cash. I mean, it's people that understand what it is that we're kind of doing here and understand the value of junior golf, and they're just giving a little bit of money as we go along. So I'm incredibly proud of that. They can head to my website at pjkoenig.com to do that. You know, follow along on the social stuff as well. It's fun. I'm doing my best to create, bring you in as much as I can, given my, you know, my limited time to what it's like to do something like this.
Well, I guess there's probably people listening as well who perhaps are on the roadmap and could contact you about maybe joining them at their home course. Is that something that you'd be interested in as well?
Absolutely. There's a stop request on that website. So when you go to the website, you'll see all the different links. It's got everything about the RGB Tour there. And one of them is a stop request. So I'm always taking requests to play golf. I love to have, you know, heard the story and say, hey, come on out. And, it, you know, it's just, it's fun. It's a way for everybody to be a part of the record. You know, I hear, you know, I talk about it in like a we fashion, because it's not just I. This, the people that I play with that like make this thing go. Otherwise, with me, I don't know, I'd be lonely, you know, and it wouldn't be as enjoyable. And it you know, breathe, the people that join the tour breathe life into it, and it's what makes it special. So I encourage people to do that. You know, if they're on the route, you can see the schedule, where I've been, where I'm going, and come on in. Everybody's invited to be a part of the tour.
Fantastic. Now, where are you currently?
I'm right next to a trainway, you know, like a pizza place in the middle of northern Georgia, headed to Macklemore in Fairway Green, or is it Green? I don't, you see, they blend together. But I'm playing a golf course this afternoon. It's about 45 minutes from here. So after we hang up, I'm going to cruise on up and tee it on up.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Pat, good luck with the rest of the year. We're all pulling for you. I will share all your details on the website, etc. And I know you'll be back out in California towards the end of November, December, correct?
Yes, I'll be there, and I'll be excited, because we'll be, I mean, that's ways away. And so the numbers will be high, and the record will be going down somewhere around there. Not exactly sure when and where, but we'll be there.
Perfect. Well, we'll have you on the podcast in person, and hopefully by then you'll actually have the world record. You stay safe, swing it well, and we'll see you in December.
Okay, I look forward to chatting again. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Cheers, Pat.
Cheers.
Four!
Mental, huh?
Crazy.
What's the most number of rounds you've ever played in a year?
Oh, man.
Not including the 9-hole that you play every day.
Oh, shit, not many. Then I honestly, I probably haven't cracked 100 rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was years I was playing a couple times a week. I practiced a lot, but I never was playing that much.
Rounds. Yeah. What about you?
I would say if I played 4 or 5 rounds in a week back at the course that Zabo and I caddied at in Florida, they let us play free golf.
That's true. I played a lot back then.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, I played a lot back
so, then. So, with the exception of the summer months where that rained a lot, if I played 5 rounds a week most weeks of the month,
mm-hmm.
say I played 15 times for 6 months. So
that's true. Yeah.
60, 60, 30s. Like if I played 90 rounds of golf in, mm-hmm. yeah. say, 7 months, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Well, I doubt that I actually did that. It was probably closer to like 70.
Yeah. I think it's off the charts.
Oh, like what he's doing. I mean,
separate golf courses.
And that part of it is crazy. And you know what struck me too about his love for the game and his talking about that is some of his favorite courses, because it really resonated with me, because it's true in my case too. Some of my favorite courses are rinky-dink courses that nobody really knows about that I grew up playing. You know, right. That's where you develop your love of the game, on courses you grew up playing. You don't have to be super well-known.
For sure. So
I'm with him there.
If anyone wants to check him out, it's PJ Koenig, KOENIG. So, pjkoenig.com. The current record is held by a Jonathan and Kathy Weaver, 449 loops they got in.
And he's probably going to shatter that.
So, is he doing... I'm wondering maybe if I could start a GoFundMe page so I could take a year off of work and maybe people could fund my dream of breaking his record.
Yeah.
You think that'd be possible?
Let him set it first and then you'll have a target to go after.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to mention something shortly.
Because I'd love to take a year off and just play golf for 36 holes every day. Well, blow him out of the water.
I just started something, you might be able to do it. But Jonathan and Kathy Weaver, they are involved in mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, perfect. Of course they are.
And
some of my favorites.
449. So pjkoenig.com. And then he's on Twitter at Patrick J. Koenig. So that's Patrick J for Jim. Koenig, KOENIG. And he's on Instagram, PJ Koenig. I would have thought you should have kept the same handle. I might say that to him. You should have the same handle for everything. Keep it nice and easy. But
check him out.
Yeah, and the first tee, that's great for young kids.
Oh,
so
for sure.
So if you want to make a small good donation or large donation, feel free to go on there and check out his website if you are on. He's got it mapped out of where he's going, and maybe he'll play golf, because when he comes out here September, I think we're going
to play with him. Yeah,
we're
going to
play with him.
For sure.
So you mentioned about that. Now, I'd mentioned earlier in this season about something called Patreon.
Yeah, we were going to set one up.
We're going to set one up. I'm not a big fan of Patreon, that kind of idea. It works for some people. I felt as if it was always like charity in a way, right? Which it kind of is, but people enjoy it. I come up with a solution.
Okay, let's hear it.
Listeners of the podcast who enjoy it can buy us a beer now.
Perfect.
Yes.
There's caddies, we like beer.
A website called Buy Me a Coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually change it to beer. But if you go to our website, glorifieddonkey.com, you'll find an add-on there. And I'll put it in the social media and all that stuff and whatever. But you can actually buy us a beer. So if you
support
if you,
what we're doing. We appreciate any support you're willing to throw our way.
And that way you can buy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. In my case, you probably want to buy about 4 dozen.
It's true.
I am off the beer right now. But, you know, I will be back.
He's going to make up for last time.
He's like the buddy Michael was talking about at the beginning of the episode, where he's like, and now I'm not drinking, but on hole 4, it's going to go downhill real quick.
But when I start, watch out.
Yeah, so check out the Glorified Donkey website or the social media channels, and the link will be on there to buy us a beer. So that's there you go. And we might get enough beers that you can take a year off.
That's kind of like a dream for me. I would love to that's kind of like, if I reached all my goals, ideally, I would just play golf every day.
Play golf.
Grand. I'm with you.
And as I say, check out Patrick's website and his stuff to, get involved and see what he's doing. Now, all the questions come from Twitter this week.
Let's tweet it up.
Throw them at us.
Show me your tweets.
If you're not currently following on social media, you can follow on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just search for Glorified Donkey. First question is from Tara Coates.
Thoughts on Golf Digest Top 100? Lots of dramatic changes.
I mean,
are you boys aware of this?
I am not aware of this.
I'm not aware of this, and I mean, I will look through them, but I don't subscribe to their chain of thought. It's so political, and yeah. And top, who's to say what the top 100 golf courses are in the country? It's so subjective.
I would like to take a look at it. Can we maybe pull it up and?
Yeah, you'll have to do that in your own time.
Okay. Well, I wanted to be more engaged.
But to PJ's point, like some of my favorite courses in the world are courses nobody's ever heard of.
Well, no, I actually
it's a personal opinion. In my opinion, it's a personal opinion. The best courses are the courses you think are the best.
Yeah. Whatever Golf Digest or I think most magazines and golf publications have pretty much lost any credibility in the last couple of years with their sloppy journalism. Mm-hmm. We know that unless you earn mergers and acquisition money, you can't play in the top 45 of them.
Correct.
It's all these, you know, private clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cypress Point, who knows? You know, 99.9% of the people will never see it
correct.
Or play it.
Correct.
So why even include it, you know? So
agreed.
Is it included?
Oh, it will be.
Cypress, top two or three, always.
Always. So no. I'm not
top
sure.
Top one or two. It's usually Pine Valley and Cypress Augusta.
Like you see, it's all politics.
The things most desired are some that are the most unobtainable.
There you go. David Bushy, he says, bunker etiquette, rakes in or rakes out. I vote in. If you hit it in a bunker and hit the rake, so be it. If rake is out and you hit it, that shouldn't have been there. Happened. Thoughts? Ever hit a rake and bounce into a bunker? Would you reckon, boys, leave the rake in or out?
I think
it's
both.
A course-by-course thing. Okay. Some courses, all the rakes are out of the bunker. Mm-hmm. Some of them, some courses I see where the rake is mostly in the bunker.
Proper way.
Mostly in the bunker, and the handle is just on the edge of the bunker.
That's how it should be. Because if you do that, if you put the head in the bunker, the handle sticking out, that it's very rarely going to be stopped from going. The only way it stops from going in is that 1-inch wide handle. If the handle stops it, that's not going to happen. But if you put it out, the head of the rake is going to stop that ball a lot.
When I replace a rake, I replace it. I try to put it out of the way mm-hmm. and outside the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
I'm half in, half out.
Okay.
Heads in, handles out.
Interesting. Me too. Or actually, let's be honest. The player usually rakes the bunker in my occasion. So I have a rule that if you're once you get to your third bunker on the same hole,
you're on your own. You're on your own. Sorry, buddy. I've raked enough.
You're on your own.
I just flat out see it. I'm just like, no.
You've had enough bunker fun. Either pick up or just rake it yourself.
Hunter Bendel Jr. says, the LIV caddies are talking about how well they are treated now versus when they were on the PGA Tour.
Of course.
Do you have any inside perspective in that?
I have no inside perspective, and I can imagine how that is so very true.
Yeah.
I have no inside perspective, but whatever. I mean, they're getting paid. I mean, you know what you're getting into. It's like here. I don't expect anything from the company. We're independent contractors. We work for ourselves. I don't expect anything other than what I get paid from the players that I caddy for.
Oh, yeah.
We have a negotiated
bag. I'm thinking
fee.
That's a.
I'm not looking for anybody to give me anything additional.
I think
it's nice. It's certainly nice. I can't argue with the fact that if they're going to fly them, put them up in hotels.
I think the point here, Zabo, is that for many years on.
That one had a nerve with Zabo. He kind of went
really.
A little.
I mean,
as long as there's a Chipotle, that's all he cares about.
Exactly.
That's all he cares about. As long as I can get a couple servings and a free queso fresco
and a free pack of smokes. Get out of here.
I tell you what, that's got some legs on it, that one.
I've talked to Marianne in depth about this. She knows.
I feel for Mike. Zabo's, will you throw that one out there?
Zabo's new nickname, The Chimney.
I'll accept it.
So I'm going to go back to the point. For many years, and I have experience of this, on the European Tour, on the PGA Tour, right, the facilities for the players were like 5 or 6 star.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the caddies, it was literally a box. I remember being at the AT&T 15 years ago, only 15 years ago, and we had plastic furniture in a tent with wood chip on the floor on the ground. You got a lukewarm hot water for tea or coffee. There was no milk, it was only cream.
and a box of stale donuts.
Yeah. I can't argue with that.
And by the end of the day, half the donuts were still there. Now, what does that tell you? With a bunch of scrub caddies.
Right? Yeah, it must be pretty bad if caddies aren't eating them.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what you're seeing, I would say that that side of it has definitely improved.
Oh, I'm both, on PGA Tour for sure, but good on the LIV guys for treating their caddies better than they do on the PGA Tour.
And I think that was part of the LIV thing. Is it going to be, will they continue doing that in 5 years' time?
There's probably a lot less caddies.
There are a lot fewer caddies.
Right, I mean.
But they'll post stuff in their social media accounts where they'll be like, oh, here's all my clothing for the week ahead. The hotel rooms are paid for. They're on site.
Yeah.
It's money.
Yeah, because everybody's on the same ship. It's all part of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're running with it.
Ian Goodwin says, should excessive drinking on the course be banned?
No, that's how we get paid.
Absolutely not.
No, we encourage it.
I mean, what is my comment there? I think people use alcohol as a coping mechanism for their poor golf, obviously. And they, you know, sometimes I think people get a little too drunk out there, especially when the pressure is so high upon themselves and usually performing instead of in front of other coworkers, people that they know through email, that sometimes.
So you agree with Ian?
Are you high?
No.
I don't understand a word of what you just said.
Yes or no? I think it's fine. Whatever.
Pass. Next question.
Locke says, if 7 at Pebble Beach is the second most photographed hole in the world, what is the first?
Oh, this is a loaded question. It's also a punchline to a joke.
You had a corny caddy at Pebble Beach. Yeah. I know you had a real corny caddy at Pebble that told the same lame-ass joke that 90% of the caddies tell when they get to the 7th.
Dirty. Yeah. Marvin Morrison, he has a Canadian flag next to his name. What sets apart a good caddy from a great one?
Wow. Brandon?
A great caddy doesn't give up on their player.
Oh.
Okay. A great caddy is a great caddy from the first hole to the last hole.
Mm-hmm.
A great caddy is there for their player, and it's not there's eye contact, there's good communication, and this isn't going to happen every time because some people aren't into it and they just aren't there present for it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's there, you give that person an experience like they can't get anywhere else.
Well put.
Zabel?
Well put. Well, I think a good caddy is one that gives you good information, good reads, tells you a few good jokes, and makes you have a good time. And I think a great caddy is a caddy who can make you believe in your shitty golfing ability and make you believe that they actually care. You know, if you believe that I actually care about what you're doing, I think I'm doing a great job. I'm a great caddy if I can make you believe
that I care. I got one more comment.
I care.
A good caddy, you'll go, I had a good caddy one time. Don't remember his name.
Oh.
And a great caddy, you will tell everybody that asks you, I went to, have you ever played this golf course? Yeah. I went to that golf course, and I had Gordon as my caddy.
they don't say
that. Well, Gordon's not a great caddy. He's a good caddy.
What's your thoughts, G?
Yeah, tell us. Tell us what you think.
I'll be honest with you. The difference between a good caddy, he just nailed it in the head. I felt as if he was high for the previous one.
Yeah. But he nailed that one. Yeah.
He ruled it back in.
Be memorable. If you can remember your caddy's name. And
I think it's all of the above. Just, I think for me, recognizing what that player needs with his personality and manipulating what you're...
Yeah, being able to adapt to different...
Adaptation
to different styles. You know, you got the drinker sometimes, you got the guys who are more serious, you got the guys gambling, you got the father, son, you got the husband and wife, you got the, you know, you know how to handle each one as they come.
Mm-hmm.
People who want the dirty jokes, the people who are anti-dirty joke and they go to church every day, you know, you got to know how to talk to people.
You remember Coach Sean McLaughlin from a previous episode, boys?
I do.
And he's been in contact. He's got several questions. I'm going to use a couple today. He says he used to caddy out here on the East Coast, Long Island / Hamptons. I remember my first summer in the caddy yard and the characters I met. Over the years, each season, I noticed the characters were the same, but the people who played those characters changed. Some that stood out were the brilliant minds who were so underachieving, the tour hopeful, the tour caddy who's here temporarily until his next tournament, What type of characters in your caddy yards do you get a kick out of? Well, this is, we could talk for 20 minutes about this.
2 hours.
Do
you want me to just move on to another one so we can actually use this one as a big piece of content?
Because, sure, yeah, we're going to get to that.
Well, he says, I got a real good one for you guys. My daughter, who's entering her junior year in college, will be caddying for me this summer in my tournaments, local AM and Opens here in metropolitan New York. She really isn't a serious golfer and hasn't played much, but is a Division I athlete. What advice would you give her, and what points would you stress to her in tournament rounds?
Well, I mean, the basics is the old caddy adage, you know, show up, keep up, and shut up, you know?
Nah,
I mean...
Nah, rubbish.
Well, what are you going to tell somebody who doesn't have any golf experience?
Okay.
That's just a...
Learn the five most important rules, okay? What's a red stake? What's a white stake?
Yeah, I mean, does she really need
that's
to
a
know
good,
that?
That's a good point.
Know, don't stand in the lines... What a beginner golfer should know about.
Stay out of people's peripheral vision. That is probably one of the most things that, like, you don't stand in somebody's peripheral.
Yes.
You stand in front of them far enough or behind them far enough.
The basics of caddy training. Yeah.
And you know what, Coach Sean McLaughlin, why don't you tell her what you want her to do?
Exactly.
And then I think everyone will have a wonderful summer. Mm-hmm. Number two as well, don't be cheap, Sean. Yeah. You know,
college girls got
to
eat.
Get to the hip.
You chose to have the daughter. I'm sure you always say, "Oh well, your education has cost a lot of money." You know, you chose to have her, so that's your responsibility to be paying for that. So make sure and throw her plenty of grease.
And dinner isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, just because Kuchar doesn't pay his own son when he caddies for him doesn't mean you can get away with it.
Exactly. Okay, right, boys. We need to do our shout-outs before we leave. Okay, now there's a guy called Carl Frederick. He's from Ohio. He bought some hats on the website. Now, this is a belter. He comes out here and he uses Josh Parrish and Evan Couture.
Okay.
Evan came on the podcast a couple of years ago. I text Evan. I says, oh, yeah, Carl Frederick, do you know him? He's like, oh, yeah, I know Carl. I was like, really disappointed. He wants me to caddy for him the next time he's out here. I totally had him. I had him going. I thought nice. For a second, I thought there's no way that he's
going to
over text. Yeah. And he knows who I am. So I thought I totally had him. He said, oh, it's about text Carl and be like, WTF.
Come on, man.
So there's Eddie Goop, right? GOEPP, right? I met him in the Turnberry locker room, him and his brothers. He's one of, he's got two brothers and a dad. Well, obviously he's got a dad. They've all got a dad. But father and three sons were in Scotland playing golf. They're from Atlanta, Georgia. Eddie's the oldest. He started listening to the podcast after I gave him a card and talked to him. He had a great couple of weeks or 10 days in Scotland playing golf. Michael Wallach, who is Dan Anda, absolutely loves the podcast.
Great.
He really enjoyed Spitball.
Nice. Well, send us in your stats and we'll spitball you.
Well, there's a guy called Hayden Fenner who actually, he's from Windsor, Wisconsin, and he actually sent in some stuff. We just don't have time right now, so we'll do that in a future episode.
There you go, Hayden.
That was a mistake.
Okay.
What you got, man bun?
Well, we got a couple of people that follow us on Twitter. We got Randy Rush and his wife Heidi.
Oh.
We got Beaver Hills Country Club.
All right. Oh, I'll tell you what, there could be a few jokes there.
Yeah.
Heading up to the Beaver this afternoon.
Yeah. Oh God, that's loaded there. Yeah. Honey, you've been hanging out at the Beaver too long.
Too much beef.
Yeah. That's you've had stuff. Enough Beaver. You're never home.
Oh, they're doing.
You always been hanging out with the Beaver.
Beef.
They're doing two for one up at the Beaver. Yeah, yeah. I'm having dinner tonight at the Beaver.
Oh no,
man,
it doesn't stop.
Never ending.
And we have John from York Gulch, Colorado.
There you go, York Gulch. You ever heard of that?
I have not heard of York Gulch. Yeah.
And you obviously have to shout out who.
Oh, my brother-in-law Logan.
Logan, there you go.
Logan, what's up, buddy?
Sweet.
What's up,
Logan? Who you got, Zabu?
I got to shout out a couple of guys I caddied for, Patrick and Lucas Reynolds, two brothers. Great to have them up here. They're going to be podcast listeners. Patrick actually teaches down south in Southern California, so look up Patrick Reynolds if you're looking for a good teacher in Southern California. My good boy Scalise was back in town. He sent us one of your favorite loops that we, the one and done, that $60. He said he's going to hit us up next time he's up. But he was up and
red shoes.
We got his whole group to contribute to my daughter's raffle, which neither of you guys contributed to. Thank you very much.
Was never asked.
You were asked, actually.
Wow.
I probably should have contributed, but I wasn't interested in the prizes.
You were in another country. You said you were going to hit me up, but you never did. This was like a month ago.
You fled the country.
I think I had more pressing matters than the raffle.
I'll show you the text. Anyways, we got to shout out Chris, Greg, Rod, and Corey.
You can take the Italian out of Italy, but you can't take Italian out of Italy. Italian,
yeah.
Good one. I also got a shout out. Good new friend that I made at Bench Job, Tyler Dortch. You would have loved this guy. He's actually classic. So this guy and his eight buddies, they came out. We had a great time. So they had a thing where there were two twosomes playing against the other twosome. So the match, the losing twosome would have to pay the other caddy. And he told us right up, like, it's $150 a bag. It's $300. If we win, you're getting paid either way. But, you know, the losing players have to pay the other caddy. So one of the guys was new on the trip. He didn't know this. So his name is Grady. He's on the 15th hole, and they were four down. So they lose that hole. The match is over. And he's like, just so you know, we have to pay our caddy, and we have to pay the other caddies. He goes, I'm feeling a little sick, and I think I'm going to pass out. It was classic. Grady
I don't know if we make that much money, but
Grady had no idea
how this worked. I feel his pain.
So anyways, Tyler, they win the match, and Tyler and his boy, they pay me, and the other group pays me. And then I went with them the next day. Same thing happened. They won their match, and then we played Will White, who was a gentleman too. He got the bad end of a few caddies, but so he lost the match, and they saw my players pay me again, so I got paid. And then his partner said, "Oh, he already got paid. We don't have to pay him." Will goes, "No, that's not how it works. We still pay him. We lost the money." So good on you, Will. I know you're going to be a listener too. But Tyler, looking forward to seeing you next time.
Yeah. I tell you what, Zabo's got some backbone on him, isn't he?
He's
talking to us about raffle prizes, and he's getting paid left, right, and center.
Yeah, I didn't tell him what to pay.
Throw in a little your
I'm over here laid up for 3 weeks. He's getting triple paid, and
and bitching about raffle
prizes. Yeah, I'm bitching about raffle prizes.
Well, actually, speaking of the raffle, a couple caddies did win the raffle prizes.
Okay.
So there you go.
I'll be in next time. Oh, one last shout out. Peyton Harris. He's from Dallas, Texas, and he was on the golf course, and I guess somebody said, "Oh, he must have asked who does the podcast," and then he was pointed out. So I met him twice this week.
Nice.
Peyton Harris, you're an absolute champion. You know what happened? He's playing with three guys, and there's three women. He says, "Oh, I'm all caught up." And I said to him this morning, because I saw him this morning, I said, "Did you not listen to the last episode?" I said, "It was something about the Yoga Pants Brigade."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said, "Dude, I was laughing my ass off." He said, "My wife stayed in Carmel. She's texting the other wives going, what are you doing? Why are we going? You're going to go and watch golf?
Wow.
What's wrong with you?" So he was the only one.
She doesn't subscribe to the yoga pants.
She got it, but the other three, 18 holes. I don't know why you would do it, but yes. So Peyton, you're the man. Guys, thank you very much for your time. That brings us to the end of episode number 110. Now, if you are new to the podcast, there's another 109. Go back and have a listen to them if you may. Check us out on all the social media. Also check out our sponsor, Big Game Golf. It's a wonderful app. I started using it. You can just, if you just want to use it as an e-scorecard, I did that today.
It's good for any purposes. I mean, if you're looking to gamble, you're looking just to keep score.
Just have a little game with the boys, but I used it as the e-scorecard today instead of using the pencil. So that was wonderful. So check them out, Big Game Golf. And if it asks you for a promo code for Zabo, you go GDonkey2, and for myself, GDonkey1.
All lowercase.
If you want to buy us a beer, check out our website or the social media, and I'll put a link on there. Buy us a beer. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate your time and your support. If you've got any mailbag questions, send them in, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or via Twitter or Instagram. Get out, enjoy your golf, but more important, keep it humble.